gang. Welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. And as you know, I have my website, nationalbugle.com. If you have the capability of sending Bitcoin, I take Bitcoin. That's all I take at this point. Also, check out the Co-Certified app. Really check it out. $1.99. How can you go wrong? How can you possibly go wrong? It will tell you what food is not kosher. That's pretty important. More than that, it is a template on how to find out a lot of things. It's a template for that. Let's make this app succeed, and there will be more to follow. All right. Today, wow, I will be taking calls. The number here at the RBN headquarters, our worldwide headquarters, that number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. I'd be happy to hear from you. There's a number of news stories I want to talk about. Well, okay, here's one. It's at the top of Breitbart News. I don't look at Breitbart that often, but here it is. Condoleezza Rice to Donald Trump. Let experts handle North Korea details. I have my own ideas about what's going on with Trump and North Korea, and I'm not sure if I'm right. But I said several times in the past couple of months that I thought Donald Trump wasn't so much trying to scare Kim Jong-un, because the North Koreans have been scared. They're very, very paranoid. They've been paranoid for 70 years after the Korean War, during the Korean War. I mean, being bombed, like basically having no two-story buildings left standing or something like that. Napalm. Way more napalm was used on North Korea than on North Vietnam. Not very many people know that. And, of course, Curtis LeMay, who was famous for a couple of things, one for being the general under whom the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs were dropped. He also had, during the Korean War, had wanted to bomb the entire Yellow River Valley, which is the border between China and North Korea, so that it would become a no man's land through which the Chinese would not be able to move past. I mean, pretty severe stuff. They've been paranoid for a long time. They thought Bill Clinton was about to bomb them. Well, guess what? He was. He was about to bomb them. Jimmy Carter intervened, and that led to an agreement, something that North Koreans wanted all along. They would give up their nuclear program, which was centered around their nuclear facility. I believe it's at Yongbyon. And they would close that down. And in exchange, the deal there was that Japan and the United States would build them an alternative nuclear reactor. The Yongbyon reactor was, I believe it was the Yongbyon reactor. Their reactor was a Chernobyl-style reactor, graphite-cooled, and one from which weapons-grade material could be more easily extracted. The deal was, okay, North Korea would join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty as a non-nuclear country, which they did. And then the United States and Japan would build a new reactor, a heavy water reactor, under international inspection. And this never happened. The ground wasn't even broken. And meanwhile, 8 years later, you had George Bush declare North Korea axis of evil. And finally, North Koreans the North Korean government said, "You're not keeping up your end of the deal. We shut down our nuclear reactor. We've opened up to inspectors. We've joined the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and this reactor, which was supposed to be completed by now, hasn't even been started. Construction hasn't even been started. So we are giving you 6 months' notice, which is the rules of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, 6 months' notice that we are going to pull out. And once we do pull out, we are going to restart our graphite reactor," which is what they did. They've been scared all along. They've had reason to be scared. So my theory was always, and I could be wrong, that Trump wasn't trying to scare North Korea. He was trying to scare the people around him. He was trying to scare the foreign policy establishment. Foreign policy establishment is fine with the status quo. They're fine with having a big boogeyman in North Korea. It gives a rationale for keeping tens of thousands of troops, both in South Korea but also in Japan, right? It's a rationale for that. Those bases, those permanent bases that we have in Japan and South Korea, I mean, they've been used for all sorts of things. They've been used for the Vietnam War. They could be used for, I mean, they would be used for showdowns with China in the East China Sea and the South China Sea. The military wants them there. And both the Chinese and the Japanese are actually happy with having a divided Korean peninsula, because a united Korean peninsula, well, would remain smaller than either Japan or China. It would be strong. It would actually make for a balance of power in East Asia, which wouldn't require any American presence. I think a united Korea would be a good thing. At any rate, so was Donald Trump actually trying to scare the foreign policy establishment so that they would let him negotiate? That's what I thought. And maybe that's the case. Or maybe South Korea's new president, Moon Jae-in, who took over after the impeachment of his predecessor, Park Geun-hye, who had been very hostile to North Korea. South Korea has a very divided elite, a very divided population on whether to try to make peace with North Korea or to be hostile. And Park Geun-hye, whose mother was killed in an assassination attempt against her father, who was the dictator of South Korea for 18 years. The assassination attempt was, and her mother's murder was by a Korean national who had grown up in Japan and was sympathetic to North Korea. So she naturally, I think rightfully, actually blames it on North Korea. She had a family feud. He had a family feud going on between the Parks and the Kims, I think. And she was impeached for unrelated corruption, and early elections were held for president. And Moon Jae-in, who is from the faction that is for an opening to North Korea, it may be that he is manipulating Donald Trump. I mean, we can see that Donald Trump, he's been manipulated by Zionists who have staged false flag or hoax gas attacks in Syria and dragged them into war. It may be that, and I don't know enough about President Moon. I don't have a good feel for him. But it may well be that he is astute and said, "Well, I can do some manipulation too." And maybe he had his National Security Advisor, who was in Washington earlier this year, say, hey, Mr. Trump, you've gotten the North Koreans so scared that they would be willing to disarm, they would be willing to halt their nuclear program in exchange for a piece of paper. wow, what a deal. That's how scared they are. Well, of course, the fact is that they've always been willing to do that. They've always wanted a meeting with the American president, and they've wanted a piece of paper ending the Korean War and guaranteeing non-aggression. That's all they've wanted. It's been within reach all along, but our foreign policy establishment would rather have an enemy in North Korea. So perhaps it wasn't Donald Trump playing 3D chess. Perhaps it was Moon Jae-in playing 3D chess. I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. At any rate, it seems to be going pretty well right now. I don't really trust Pompeo, our new Secretary of State, although he did go over to North Korea and meet with Kim Jong-un and seems to be on board with this, so I'll keep my fingers crossed on him. I don't trust the people in the State Department. They've had 70 years to work this out, and they haven't. I don't trust the people in the Pentagon at all. They love having these bases over in South Korea and Japan. I've been to many of them. I've been to many of these bases. They're very nice places. I mean, you talk about Seoul. I've been to the Yongsan base in Seoul. And Seoul is this very crowded. It's very lively. It's very exciting. It's very exciting to be there. But the downside of being there is it's very crowded and it's very expensive to live there. And housing tends to be cramped. Yet, if you are an army officer in a station at Yongsan Base, I'm not even sure if they still have it open. I think they might have moved, but I was there years ago. You have a nice suburban, American suburban style house, like a nice ranch style house, and you can have shop at a nice American kind of supermarket at the PX and go to Domino's Pizza, and you can just go outside the gate and you're in the middle of all the excitement. It's very nice. And you can say the same for the bases around Tokyo, Camp Zama or Tachigawa or the other ones, Yokosuka, the naval base. Very nice places to live if you're an army officer. You have access to Tokyo or Yokohama. Very nice places. Why would they want to give that up? Practically all the career officers are going to have a stint in East Asia in one of these, Japan, Okinawa, or South Korea. So I'd like Trump to do this. But Condi Rice, no, she says, let the experts handle the details. I would much rather have President Trump, for whatever he's worth, whatever his faults may be, I think he would like to have a deal, and I think a deal would be a great thing. Okay, callers, 1-800-313-9443. Let's move on. What else? We have the caravan. Is it the caravan of inclusiveness? Is it the caravan of diversity? We have the caravan that we've been hearing about for 5-6 weeks. Probably since late March, is that when we started hearing about it? That was moving up. They had some, I guess they were photo ops of them walking, but as some of our callers have noted, you would not be able to walk from Honduras to the American border in a month's time unless you were doing like a marathon per day. And these, overweight, Many of these people are overweight and diabetic or pre-diabetic, and they're not going to be marching 30 or 40 miles in a day, day after day. So obviously there was a lot of buses involved, and that's not a secret. That's not a secret. And some of them have gotten to Tijuana, and we've been hearing about this since Thursday or Friday, climbing up the border fence there with big Honduran flags singing the Honduran national anthem. Sounds a bit like an invasion. And they had been kept out, but apparently today, 8 of them have been let in. Now there's 300 or so there who are trying to get in. Not a single one should be let in, but eight have been let when I say let in, at least let into the offices, the border, the ICE offices on the border on American soil. The problem is, the moment they get there, then the United States can't necessarily send them back to Mexico. They're not Mexican citizens. Mexico doesn't have to take them back. And then here they are, we have to detain them somewhere. And there's been this whole catch and release thing where you say, okay, well, you're going to have a hearing in a year or two. And just, you know, here, we'll help you get off to Des Moines or Poughkeepsie or Peoria. And, you know, come back in a year or two and we'll see about your case. And nobody ever comes back. That's been what's happening. Donald Trump ran on a wall. He ran on keeping these people out. When the caravan started, he's been tweeting repeatedly about against these people. Does he have control? I mean, I know a lot of listeners probably think that he was part of the plan all along. I think that would be a very, very convoluted plan. They didn't need him to be part of the plan. They didn't need all of the confusion that that we've seen over the past couple of years with the Trump presidency. Whether it was Bush or Hillary seemed to be the preferred choice, but Bush would have been okay, Kasich would have been okay, even Sanders would have been okay. They could have just kept doing things. There wouldn't have been a lot of controversy. They could keep up with the wars. Sanders might be a little bit more selective about the wars. Certainly didn't deserve the anti-war reputation he had. He would have been a bit more selective. But they could have kept up with all of the diversity, all of the anti-white discrimination. They could have just kept it up. There wouldn't have been any controversy. Donald Trump created a lot of controversy. Now, I think we're all disappointed. He's not having results. He seems to be subject to manipulation. He's not winning. Maybe he will. We have 33 more months of his first term. Maybe he will start winning. If he does start winning, it would only be because people like us, people like the people listening to this show, would be able to effectively utilize our strengths and spread a word. He's not going to be our leader. He might be our weapon. We have to see about that. So, you know, this is something to watch, this caravan of inclusiveness. And, you know, it's alarming that these people would be let in. Trump has, even Pence has spoken ill of these people. We have this Homeland Security Secretary, Kirsten, whatever her name is, who apparently was put in there by Kelly. And she, I don't know, I mean, she will talk in support of Trump, but will she work in support of him? Probably not. She'll probably put on a show, but then buckle under. So we're coming up towards the end of this first segment. I'll be back after the break. We've got some more stories to talk about, and I'll be taking calls. 1-800-313-9.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
National Radio on the Public Broadcasting Network. For those of you not aware, that is North Korean music, and it is not Beyonce, and I think it is much better. All right, next story I want to cover is Bibi Netanyahu. Bibi coming out with his PowerPoint saying that Iran has been lying and they have a secret nuclear weapons program and blah, blah, blah. Of course, this is the same Bibi who, as former prime minister, remember he was prime minister for a couple of years in the 90s and then lost his office and then came back to it in 2009. But while he was out of office in 2002, he spoke before Congress telling Congress, Saddam Hussein, he's got a nuclear weapons program, he's got all these weapons of mass destruction, the whole place is full of it. And, of course, he was the one who was full of it. He was full of it. Even the normies know that there were no weapons of mass destruction that were ever found. That got to be kind of a meme. No, but we're still looking. I remember teaching my classes and weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Not yet, but we're still looking. Years after the invasion, we're still looking. Netanyahu. So there was an interesting conversation between Sean Hannity and Pat Buchanan on Sean Hannity's show last night, and I wish I had the audio, but I do have a transcript of it. So let's listen to that transcript. Pat Buchanan, he said, Bibi has been crying wolf for decades. U.S. intelligence agencies in 2007 and again in 2011 said with high confidence that they have no evidence of a nuclear weapons program in Iran. Subsequent to that, we had the deal. Okay, subsequent to that, we had the deal. Now, if Iran has a nuclear weapons program and is working on it in secret, That would be an abject failure on the part of American intelligence. Sean Hannity interrupts. Do you actually doubt that the Iranians are building a nuclear weapons program? Pat Buchanan answers, look, the reason the Iranians signed the deal is because of the truth of what American intelligence said. Sean, they didn't have a nuclear weapons program. Hannity responds, Pat, you're not making sense here. Buchanan replies, listen to me, Sean. Ahmadinejad said, look, I'm not stupid. If we spend all this time, money, energy, and money building an atomic bomb, and the Americans have 5,000? One atomic bomb? Hannity, why would America, even under Obama, if they really didn't think these mullahs in Iran had these nuclear ambitions, there would never have been a reason in Obama's mind to back up the Brinks truck, $150 billion, I don't know what he's referring to there. I know what he's referring to. And they continue to spin their centrifuges. And we don't get to have the inspectors we want. Of course they're building a nuclear weapons program. Buchanan, if they're building a nuclear weapon, then the American intelligence agencies have misled us again, or have lied to us again. Get all three of those guys, heads of the CIA, DIA, and DNI, and put them up before Senator Corker's Senate Intelligence Committee and say, does Iran have a secret nuclear weapons program operating? And if so, when did it begin? Because you guys told us they didn't have one. Hannity replies, so you didn't watch Bibi Netanyahu's evidence today or didn't believe it? I believed every word of it. Yeah, of course you did, Sean. Okay, Buchanan replies, Bibi Netanyahu, with due respect, wants the United States to fight a war against Iran on Israel's behalf. I don't want my country getting into another war. Hannity, I don't want another war either, but if you look at North Korea, bribing didn't work then. And of course, I already explained that in the first part of the show. Buchanan replies, the reason Iran doesn't have a bomb is they don't want it. They could have built a bomb. Hannity, here's the problem. If you marry a nuclear weapon with the fanaticism of the mullahs in Iran, you're looking at a modern day Holocaust! The same people who strap bombs to their kids and promise them virgins in heaven, if they have nuclear capability, the world is headed for more death and destruction that perhaps we've never seen. Buchanan, Sean, come on, Sean, do you really think? And Hannity replies, call me on Pat, I guess he means come on, Pat. Come on, Pat. 100 million souls were lost in the last century. 100 million. Pat Buchanan, do you really think, Sean, the Iranian government, all these guys over there, some with lots of money, want a nuclear war with the United States so they'll go to heaven? Come on. You're talking propaganda and just swallow. We will be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Back to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, that number is 1-800-313-9443. I'm almost through the Hannity-Buchanan interview, and I think it's pretty good. So let me just finish it up. So Buchanan, as I was saying before the break, do you really think, Sean, the Iranian government, all those guys over there, some with a lot of money, want nuclear war with the United States so that they'll go to heaven? Come on. You're taking in this propaganda and just swallowing it. Hannity responds, I don't think the old rules of detente or the old rules of mutually assured destruction work on people that think they're doing God's will, the radical Islamic mullahs. You know, he could have made the same point with regard to the Messianic Jews who have a lot of influence in Israel, and even the ones who are rather atheist share, in a lot of ways, share the same proclivities. That's my aside. Let's go back to Hannity, to Buchanan. He says, Hannity, let me ask you something. Why haven't they started a war with the United States already? Hannity says, they just got $150 billion. They just keep holding out and someone keeps bribing them. Don't you think what Obama did was dumb? Buchanan. The Iran nuclear agreement deal. The Iranians got the best of it because they weren't building a bomb and we rewarded them. Sean, we have inspectors. The only centrifuges running are in Natanz, and they're running low-grade uranium. They gave up 90% of the rest of the uranium. Look, Sean, listen to me. Tell the IAEA to go in and either confirm or deny what Netanyahu said. Don't rely on him. Rely on our CIA coming out and saying, we were wrong, Netanyahu is right. They have a secret bomb program, and they're working on it right now, and they have been, and we were lied to. If the CIA and the DIA do that, I would say first, to fire the guys in charge who didn't cover it. And second, maybe we should act, but certainly not act on secondhand documents and a press conference from Bibi Netanyahu. So that is it. What are we going to do? Rely on a press conference from Bibi Netanyahu to go to war? A lot of the media, probably the bulk of the media, would say, yeah. I mean, Bibi Netanyahu, Congress. Do you remember when was that? What year was that? 2010, was it? Or 2011? May? I think it was May. He came and he got this standing ovation from Congress, joint session. It was the second time addressing a joint session of the U.S. Congress, something that very few foreign leaders have gotten invited back for a second time. I think he's had three, actually, because he had another one right before the Iranian nuclear deal was agreed to. But he joked, he said, how many votes would I have here to change the Constitution so an Israeli could be president? 300? 400? Yeah. Just and got a standing ovation for that. Yes, we would betray our country. We would love to have somebody else be president, an Israeli. Yes, please rule us. So that was pretty disgusting. Now, here's the thing. Absent in this whole discussion, and I'm not saying Pat Buchanan would never mention it, but he didn't mention it on Sean Hannity's show. Maybe he feels he can't. Israel's got hundreds of nuclear warheads. We've known this forever. They, in the 1967 war, there was a strong suspicion that Egypt gave up in 6 days. It's called the Six-Day War. Egypt gave up in 6 days because they were threatened with Israel's nuclear weapons. In 1969, so that's 49 years ago, you had congressional testimony from the CIA that was confirming that Israel had nuclear weapons. We know that they've got this, Dimona Research Facility in the Negev Desert in the south. We've known this. The French built it for them in the 1950s. They have a nuclear reactor there. They don't have a commercial nuclear industry. And perhaps because a commercial facility is a sitting duck. And this is why I've always thought it was not a good idea for Iran to want to have its own nuclear reactors. It's a sitting duck. It's a Fukushima waiting to happen. All you have to do, you don't have to drop a nuclear bomb. You just drop conventional bombs on the nuclear reactor. It's actually, in many ways, worse than a nuclear bomb, because a nuclear bomb, it has a lot of explosive power, but it doesn't spread nearly the nuclear waste. It doesn't do the long-term damage that a breach of the containment facilities, of a nuclear power plant does. Because a nuclear power plant, you think of Fukushima, and they've got hundreds and hundreds, each one of those reactors, and I think Fukushima had seven reactors or nine reactors, and each one was storing some 400 tons of nuclear wastes. So you're talking about, in the case of Fukushima, thousands of tons of nuclear waste. And if you breach the containment and this stuff gets out into the environment, you're turning large areas into no-go zones, like around Chernobyl, like around Fukushima. And Israel, especially being a small country, if you turned the Negev Desert into a no-man's land, it's hard to get far from the Negev Desert and stay in Israel. But we've known about this. They've had this. Pat Buchanan won't mention it. He didn't mention it. I won't say he won't mention it. He probably does mention it, but he didn't mention it that they their nuclear power weapons. And so, frankly, if Iran developed nuclear weapons, I don't want any country to have nuclear weapons, but if Iran had nuclear weapons, should the United States go to war to stop it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that was a bit of a weakness. I overall, I like what Pat Buchanan said, but, you know, in that closing, in his closing summation, he seemed to hint that, well, maybe if they were developing a nuclear weapon, maybe we should act. An act might be construed as meaning go to war. No, absolutely not. Here's the thing. What Netanyahu is claiming was that the Iranians who, you know, were building their reactor, they actually started building a reactor, I believe, in, was it the late 1960s, early 1970s, with cooperation of the United States. It was under the Shah. And they've had a program. And what Netanyahu's documents seem to be showing is not that they continued physically doing anything, but that they've archived documents, that they have maintained information and knowledge, not that they're physically doing anything. And here's the thing. Theoretically, the splitting of an atom and a chain reaction, theoretically, it's not that complicated. It's something that you could teach in high school physics, certainly in college physics. It's not that complicated. The engineering involved is more difficult, but the theory behind enriching uranium, for instance, and the theory behind splitting atoms and producing a chain reaction, the theory is not that hard. The engineering is another story. But it's about knowledge. And the United States was able to overcome these engineering hurdles in the 1940s, in the mid-1940s, over 70 years ago. Who on earth would expect that something that the United States was able to do in the 1940s, that level of engineering knowledge can remain repressed for the rest of the world? You've got a country of Iran, it's got like 80 million people or so. It's reasonably highly educated. There's a big enough class of engineers. I mean, they're building skyscrapers and they're oil refineries and all sorts of things. They're capable of all sorts of things. Are you really telling me that you expect to be able to deprive the rest of the world for all of eternity engineering knowledge that was available, that was capable, that Americans were capable of in the mid-1940s? I mean, it's completely unrealistic. So if you want to avoid nuclear weapons and nuclear nonproliferation, it cannot be through the repression of knowledge. It can't, because knowledge, especially in an information age, especially in age of the internet, how are you going to repress that kind of knowledge? It can't be done. It's an impossibility. So you have to have you have to have behavior, and the United States threatening the rest of the world on behalf of Israel, and Israel not being held to any standards of behavior. How can you expect other countries not to attempt to develop a nuclear deterrent? I mean, to the extent that what would a nuclear weapons do for Iran? They wouldn't give Iran the capability of winning a war against the United States, but or even having mutually assured destruction against the United States. But they would be a form of a deterrent, because if they were potentially, plausibly deliverable to Israel, then that is a form of deterrent. So that's it in a nutshell with regards to Iran. I don't know what's going to happen. Apparently, this Iranian nuclear deal has to be recertified. Is it the 11th or the 12th of May? So within the next couple of weeks. And Trump made the decision during his campaign to badmouth the nuclear deal. And it was funny. I remember the nuclear deal when it must have been September of 2015 when it was signed, and there had been a rally in front of Congress, and Trump at that point was a candidate, and Senator Ted Cruz was a candidate, and there was a rally against the deal that was sponsored by some Jewish groups, Zionist groups, and Trump spoke there. Now, his speech, or at least the part that I saw of it, was in stark contrast to Cruz. Cruz was very belligerent and saying that the Iranians wanted war and all of this. They wanted another Holocaust. And Trump, he was saying it was a bad deal. Why? Because all these European countries are going to get these business opportunities in Iran and American companies aren't. What a stupid deal. How could you have this stupid deal that's going to give business opportunities to European countries instead of to American companies? And that was his logic at the time. And when you'd hear him in his speeches, he wouldn't go into the details, most speeches. He would not go into the details of what was wrong with the treaty. He'd just say it was so stupid. It's just so stupid. These people don't know how to negotiate. I'd negotiate a better deal. And you know, he'd use very strong language, but never talk about details. So I don't know what he really thinks about this. And, you know, was he just using it as, because he does seem to have a bit of a divide and conquer strategy regarding Jews. He seems to want to split off at least a minority of Jews to be pro-Trump. Because the Never Trump movement is like thoroughly Jewish. And I don't think this is a good strategy for him, but I'm just saying, I think this was his strategy to split off the maybe some of the right-wing Orthodox Jews and you know, other less religious Jews who are super Zionist. And when I say Zionist as defined by devotion to Israel. I mean, because really, when we talk about Zionism, I usually refer to Zionism as a form of Jewish supremacy, not simply Israeli nationalism or devotion to Israel. But I had the feeling that Trump was trying to split off those most fanatically devoted to Israel, who might not care as much about immigration into the United States. I think the mainstream of the Jewish power structure in the United States, they've got support for Israel nailed down, and a little more fanatic or a little less fanatic doesn't matter. And in fact, maybe a little less fanatic devotion to Israel is better, because it makes it less likely that the Goyim are going to ask questions. When you get too fanatically devoted to Israel, like so many people in Congress, the Goyim start asking questions. And I think there are a lot of Jews in the United States who would like to tone that down a little bit. Because Israel is the one issue in Congress where there's complete bipartisan agreement. I mean, that's one thing that everybody agrees on. So Israel's not at risk. And Peter Boehnert, who does he write for now? I think he writes for The Forward, but he's used to write for The Nation. He's a Jew, his parents were Jews from South Africa, and he said the dirty little secret is that American Jews don't vote based on Israel. And the thing is, they don't because they don't have to, because it's in the bag. They're going to vote based on immigration. They're going to vote based on anti-white policies. All right, we are coming up towards our last break. I will be back after the break. With more about Bibi Netanyahu and what he's got up his
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. Hey, we just have a few minutes left, but this is very interesting. This is from CNN, of all places, Chris Cuomo interviewing Netanyahu. Must have been, I guess he has a daytime show, so would this have been just today? Let's listen.
Iran won't tell the truth. We had to go in there, you know, is Israel's position, and steal this information so we can know the truth. Disclosure as an issue should work every way. The United States should say what it has. You know where I'm going with this. A yes-no question for you. Does Israel have nuclear capabilities and nuclear weapons? Yes or no?
We've always said that we won't be the first to introduce it, so we haven't introduced it.
But that's not an answer to the question. Do you have them or do you not?
Of any country. It's as good an answer as you're going to get. What else?
But what I'm saying is, if disclosure matters so much, what message does it send when you won't confirm something that is widely believed by the entire international community? How does that inspire the spirit of disclosure?
I said that it's not the spirit of disclosure. It's a commitment, a specific written commitment by Iran, as part of the deal, to disclose what it has. Iran undertook that specific commitment.
I understand, but you know what their take on it is. Is that you won't even confirm that you have nuclear weapons when the world already believes that you do. Why? Why keep that quiet?
Well, you can make all your assumptions. One thing is clear. Israel is not threatening the annihilation of any country.
My point was just that if what we want is for people to come clean about things, everybody should be open and honest, and it will create a different kind of pressure on what kind of dialogue is expected.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. T. Thank you for getting that in such a hurry. My goodness. I'm not sure what time Chris Cuomo's show is. Maybe it's a morning show. I don't know. It said 2 p.m. Jerusalem time, so I guess 2 p.m. Jerusalem time might have been about 8 a.m. Eastern time, New York time. So that seems to have been from today. This is very, very interesting. Chris Cuomo, he's the son of Mario Cuomo, the brother who was the former governor of New York, and he's the brother of the current governor of New York, something Cuomo, I forget his name. And this is not the person I would have expected it from. And I wonder if he's about to get fired the way Rick Sanchez was. I mean, to come out point blank and ask Netanyahu. I mean, it was one thing when Helen Thomas asked Obama if he could name a single country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons, and Obama just point blank refused to, and then never again asked Helen Thomas, who used to be given the first question at every presidential news conference. She was never allowed to ask another question again. Wow, Chris Cuomo of all people. But this is the thing: the goyim know. Here you got Netanyahu, who Sean Hannity would have us go to war just because Netanyahu has a PowerPoint. And, of course, basically we did that already in 2003, with the weapons of mass destruction. That was Netanyahu had come to Congress. Well, now even Chris Cuomo on CNN is saying, why don't you disclose? Why do you expect people to take this Iran stuff seriously if you're not even going to disclose the weapons that you've had that our CIA has felt that you had, is reported that you had for the past 50 years. That does it for this episode. Wow, it was exciting. And guess what? I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.